It's an exciting time to be the pastor of this church because not only were we doing that yesterday, but a couple weeks ago, we sent these five and Ernie DeGrasse, who can't be with us, to Serbia on the Serbia missions team. And we've asked them to share about their experiences today. We've given them all microphones, so this could be very exciting. A little panel discussion, a little everybody telling their story. And I think they have some pictures. So, Kendra?
One quick piece of information before we get started. Becky's husband is into bird watching, so she kind of wanted to one-up him and see something that he's never seen before. So luckily, we were fortunate enough, we were able to see some storks. And with storks, poof! No, we were great. We even got more kids, and it was blessed to work with all of them. No, seriously, thank you. We can't thank you enough. And just wanted to say thanks again for all of your support and prayers.
I just hold this up to me, right? Yeah. Oh, I think.
It's all right.
Okay. First, I want to mention, like I did last week, that our team was very special because God put them together. And I'm just so, feel so privileged to have worked with them and to see how they work together. I reported to the missions team that everyone did what I felt we went there to do, to work with the kids, to teach English, to present the gospel. And where was, how do you do that? Well, we had a lot of language helpers to help, but we were privileged to be a part of that. They didn't say, okay, you guys go sit to the side while we take care of presenting the gospel. They gave us the privilege to see these children as they had gone forward, and then we dealt with them afterwards to see what their response is and why they went forward, and it was just a wonderful privilege. And other people have more to say about this. I have the letter that I read part of last week. I want to read it all to you and make a few comments on it. Dear friends, brothers, and sisters, we would like to thank you for sending the team to come to serve the Lord in Serbia, a small country with less than 0.1% born-again Christians, to go and obey the Lord's great commandment. This helped us to share Christ with unbelieving children at our camp in a public school. This week they served with us the week that they served with us was special because of their self-discipline, dedication, and your support. The Lord blessed us with 77 children in attendance and a staff team of 20. Out of 77 children, 24 made the decision for Christ. Thank you so much for sending this team from your church and for your prayer support. Through you and the team, we were able to accomplish much and have a successful week of camp. Now, there is an open door in Serbia for the gospel, and it was good to see how God draws these children closer. Only God knows how long this door will be open, but until that time, we have opportunities to organize camps and other events here. Your team was a help for us doing this mission work here. To God be the glory for all the changed hearts. Thank you so much for your prayer support. Please keep these children in your prayers. They need to grow in their faith and develop a strong foundation. We would like to say thank you to the mission committee of your church for the computer you sent us. It is going to be used on all Word of Life Serbia activities. Thank you for being a part of this ministry through your prayers, your support, and through the team who you have sent. We appreciate that your hearts and are mission-minded for helping to share the gospel here in Serbia as well. We hope that our partnership in the Lord's ministry here will continue to develop. God bless you all. Darko Vika. He was the head of the camp. And you were a part of it. And we really sense that in your prayers. I wanted to make a comment, just one comment. I have lots of comments, but I'll give everybody else a chance to say something. But I wanted to say something particularly about what he said about, I'll do it, about having a window of opportunity. The people we worked with, Darko, Yaroslav, and Miroslav, they were all either teenagers or young adults when 1989 happened and communism sort of fell apart. But they lived through it. And they experienced trying to worship under communism. And they also went through the war when there was devastation and bombing. And yet these men have remained faithful in serving God. And it was really and they sense an urgency. We've never had our doors closed and been told you can't worship. We've talked about it, but we haven't ever experienced it, but they have. And many times through that week they brought, we have an opportunity now. Now whether this is real, that they know of something politically that might, the door might close, or they just know what the reality is, they're taking every opportunity to share the Word of God. And they see it especially with the children that they're working with. And because John and I don't have any little children around right now, maybe someday again, and I'm working with adults in the prison, it was such a privilege to work with children again. All of you parents who have children, all of you grandparents who have children around, you have a window of opportunity. Please take advantage of this. Kids are there. They want to know. They want to know where the line's drawn. They want to know where they stand about God. They want to know God. And take advantage of this opportunity. Use the opportunities. Don't hit them with the gospel rock and preach at them all the time, but just let them know, you know, who God is. And take advantage of it. Make it a priority. And Kendra and I were talking one day. We were talking about all our questions and our... We have questions. We can't maybe answer everything that they have, but we can discuss with them who God is and our assurance of who Jesus Christ is. So that's sort of a challenge that I came home with. And it was such a wonderful thing to work with kids again. I have more, but you guys have a chance now.
Who's next?
Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. All right? So I had my three-ring binder, my week all planned out for these kids, a lesson plan for each day mapped out to the minute, and I told you I was going to put my ducks in a row. Again, I would consider myself organized, always keeping a schedule with my plans precisely dated, time of the event on a master calendar at home. Those were my plans. So God sent me to Serbia, where the culture is a little more laid back. They get there when they get there. They decide last minute. And if they're late, so what? And if it happens, it happens. In fact, many of the kids that came to this camp did not register until days before, if they were even registered at all. So some just showed up, and some didn't even come until the middle of the week. So you know what? I'm glad that God didn't put ducks in a row, because I'm glad every single child that came to camp came whether they were registered or not. On time or not, God's purpose was to have his ducks hear the gospel, not to cater to my three-ring binder, master calendar, minute-by-minute plans. I've learned to seek the Lord's purpose and listen to him a little more carefully before I make my plans. And what I learned from the kids, oh man, did I love those kids. And turns out you need no language to love them. It's great how you can show care without speaking, throwing a ball around, listening to music with them. They also loved getting their picture taken. They loved looking back at the camera. It made them feel important that they could see themselves in a picture. But my favorite part was when I got the chance to climb some trees with them. All this turned into one of my favorite parts of the trip. You come in from outside and the kids gather to get to their seats and sing some songs. But there's a seat blocked off with their arms crossed around a chair, save for you as they point and wave you over. Every time the kids worked, all the kids that I worked closely with would make sure there was always a seat for me next to them. And then the music would start, and we would start singing. I didn't recognize the words, but I recognized the music. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I knew the words in English. And turns out you need no language to need to worship God with those children either. Our English classes went very well. Sheila and I were fortunate to have Yaroslav's oldest 19-year-old daughter, Miriam, be our translator. The best day of English class was when we used the gospel bracelets. There was a boy in our class, Andre. Quiet little thing. He hardly ever said a word, so I'd call on him to try to get information out of him, and I'd be like, "Hey, Andre, say blue, blue." He was so scared every time I tried to talk to him, and that's all I could ever get out of him. There was a day we learned the months, so we decided to celebrate birthdays. Everyone knew their birthday except for Andre. He didn't know his birthday. I'm not sure about his home life or where he came from, but he was one of the kids who came up front to pray to accept Jesus. In the last day of English class, I asked, "Who wants to practice sharing about Jesus to a friend? You can use your bracelets to help you." Some kids came up front and they were like, "Gold heaven, black sin, red Jesus blood, white clean, green girl." But Andre came up, who never said a word otherwise. He came up to the front of the class. He was a long time speaking, really didn't let the give the translator time to tell me what he was saying. But the translator said that he was one of the ones who took his time and he elaborated on what things meant and he had meaning behind his words. So how could I leave after all of this? At least I know I can still pray for them. We all can still pray for them. Pray that their parents won't be discouraging and be like, "Oh, that's just some silly thing you learned at camp." Pray that they make friends who are also believers, and pray God would put someone in their lives to answer the questions they may have. It's been a pleasure to work with my family in Christ. Grandpa Ernie knew of my love for chocolate, and as soon as I woke up in Germany at the airport, guess who handed me a huge German chocolate bar to get me through the next flight? Mama Becky held things together, always asking how we were feeling, if we needed anything, being very encouraging and reassuring. Little sister Sheila, who remembered to pack an alarm clock and turned out to be more responsible than I. Guess who woke big sister Kendra up every morning? Uncle Gert and Aunt Steph always checking on us and sharing their plans for English class, willing to go above and beyond what was asked of them, never leaving those kids aside.
Thank you. Somebody else?
My turn, huh?
Mic on?
Yeah. Okay. I did not write a book like Kendra did. One of the things for me was I had never flown before. I was slightly nervous about that. It's not that bad. But our first night there, you know, once we get to our host families and that, ours don't speak English. So we're talking, and he says that he knows a little Russian. He speaks Russian. Well, I took 4 years of Russian in high school. So I went to Serbia, and the first night there, we spoke in Russian, what little bit I remembered. but we had a good time with him. His son and daughter-in-law lived there too, so they knew English. So after, there was a few times where we would try for 5 minutes to talk, and then he went and got his son or daughter-in-law. But Samuel, that was the guy we were staying with, and his wife Susan. Samuel's good at chess. He beat me twice in about 10 minutes. but one of the things I learned while I was there was kids are kids, no matter what. They try to get away with the same stuff that, you know, the junior high football kids try to get away with. And, of course, I had to go get somebody who spoke their language to tell them not to do that. But at the same time, this is universal for... that is universal for sit down and be quiet. But one of my favorite parts of the whole trip was Sunday night when we were there. We went to Yaroslav's church, and at the end, Darko and some members from his team went up and they were playing praise songs. Well, right after the first two chords, Steph looked at me and she said, "Do I know this?" And I said, and Yaroslav turned around and said, "Yeah." I said, "It's opened the eyes of my heart." So while they were singing in Slovak, we were singing in English what we could remember of it. but they played three songs, and we knew most of the songs, most parts of the songs. The one song was, I think, "Mighty to Save." I didn't remember all of it in English, but it was slow enough and half taken Russian, I could read the Slovak. So what I remembered in English, I sung in English. And what I didn't, I sung what I remembered the words sounded like.
That's what it's going to be like in heaven.
Yeah. But a couple other things. Well, another thing I realized is some things we take for granted, like Ziploc bags. It's like gold over there. Like, they don't have things like that. I actually had to go a whole week without a fan to help me sleep, which was a little rough, but I made it. And on the last day, kids had to fill out an evaluation of the camp, and one kid, Yvonne, he said his favorite part of the camp was when he learned that God sent his son to stomp on the serpent's head. He is also one of my kids who went up front and he accepted Christ. And I got to talk to him a little more, and his family don't go to church. So, you just pray that he would read the, because they got a little the New Testament. Each kid got a little New Testament in their language. So just that he would read that and that he would pray. Another little boy, Peter, he said his parents don't go to church except for Christmas and Easter. But, and talking with Peter and Benny, who is Yaroslav's boy, they both have accepted Christ, but they were having a little trouble understanding what it fully meant. And I was talking to Benny, and he said that he asked Jesus into his heart every night. And I said, you don't have to do that. I said, you only have to do it once. I said, and we still do bad things. I said, but then we gotta repent and ask for forgiveness. And he seemed to understand it a little better after that. So that was another one of my favorite parts, was just explaining the gospel a little bit better to them.
Now, you did some sports, right?
I did. I was the soccer coach, and I'm pretty sure the kids knew more about soccer than I did. But when we first got there and we were unloading everything, I was talking to Darko, and it wasn't necessarily teaching them soccer. It was, organize a few drills and then just let them play. So after that, I was pretty much at ease, because I had a few drills that I got from Marilyn and Lucas. And once we got going, about the last 25 minutes or so of each sports session, we just let them play, and I made sure they didn't get too rowdy. But it was a good week, and we'll definitely do it again.
Somebody else?
One insert.
You're good.
Okay. I want to insert that in that area, they are born into speaking Slovak. They learn Serbian along with the Slovak, because they study it both when they enter school. Then they learn English, and then by fourth grade they learn German. And then they learn how to write the Slovak and the Serbian in Cyrillic. So these kids really have a lot of language things going on.
Yeah, I think they speak better English than we do. Sometimes. I didn't want to leave Serbia. I loved it so much, and I loved those kids. I didn't want to leave them for anything in the world. The thing that I learned, if anybody knows me, you know that I enjoy the little ones. Like two and up. But Ernie and I had 10 and 11-year-olds, and I learned that even those kids are fun and can be fun. they were a lot of fun, and they taught Ernie and I as much as we taught them. I think we learned how to count in Slovak, and we learned how to say my name is, and we learned how to say what's your name, and that's about as far as we got. I can't talk enough about the kids. My goal in life is to work with kids someday, and this was just a complete eye-opener for me. I know that's where my heart is, and I know that's where God is calling me to work, and I just need to get focused to take steps to get back there. Another thing that I learned is something that Curtis said. This trip has made me so much more grateful for the things that we have already. We may not have very much, but these kids have less than anything I've ever seen. But they're still wonderful, and they still live their lives, and they're still so happy. One more thing about that is I would like to take from this experience to not complain so much about things like, especially things like gas prices. We may think that $3.75 is a lot of money to pay for a gallon of gas, but that's nothing compared to $7 a gallon that they pay in Serbia for a gallon of gas. My favorite part from this trip was singing all the songs with the kids. They did, and one that I recognized that they did was If You're Happy and You Know It. And the first day we just kind of, you know, did the motions along with the kids. And then when we kind of got to learn the songs, we got to sing them with them. And then I sang it in English, and I got a lot of weird looks from the kids. They were like, what are you singing? But that was one of my favorite parts, and my other favorite part was the food. I work in a kitchen, so I was all over the food, and it was very, the way I would explain it is it was very simple, but it was delicious nonetheless. Even the food that they served in the school was great. One of the workers of the camp, Miroslav, actually got a small boy to eat his food because I told him that I thought their food was better than it is in America, and he told this little kid, you know, if it's good enough for those Americans to eat, it's definitely good enough for you to eat. So that was a little blessing in my week. And then I just want to stress on something that Kendra said about how important prayer is for these kids, especially for the ones that came forward. We had four kids from our group that came forward, and we had one young girl that we interviewed. Well, actually, Ernie interviewed her, so I don't really know what she said. He wrote in an email that she said that she went up front because she wanted to be closer to God, and that just touched my heart, and that's all I know. Ernie knows the rest of that story. But these kids don't really have anybody to follow up with and follow up with them once they've made like the serious decision to accept Christ is very, very difficult in their community, as I'm sure everyone has already heard. But just prayer for these kids, and anytime you even think about Serbia, or if it comes across your mind, you know, that might be a nudge to just say a little prayer for these kids and for the minute for Darko and their ministry. The way that they teach these kids is through stories, and they make it fun, and it's fun for you if you make it fun with the kids too. So just anytime you think about it, just send up a little prayer. That's all I have. Thanks.
I guess I'm next. Like Kurt, that was my first time ever flying when we went to Serbia. And takeoff and landing were kind of fun, but once we were up in the air, I really just thought I was on a bus. It wasn't that interesting. When we were there, like Steph said, since the gas is so expensive, people had to do other means of transportation. One thing I could not get used to was seeing the really old ladies, 80 years old, in these long skirts and scarves and long sleeves, riding bikes around in 100-degree weather. Yeah, it was crazy. I just couldn't get used to seeing all this different stuff and all this dry air. When Kendra and I taught, we, for the most part, kept to the basics, like colors, numbers, and other stuff like that. And the rest of the time, we just had fun and had them teach us. So I don't remember anything other than hello. My favorite part of the trip would have had to just been meeting the people. The other team we got to work with had another group of teenagers. So I got to hang out with them a few times, and we just went and sat in a park and talked, though I really didn't understand much because English wasn't the first language they spoke. So it was just nice to get to meet all those other kids and just to talk to them and see how they live. I also liked the kids that we got to teach at the camp. They were the sweetest things. By about halfway through the week, they would be saving seeds for us, and the kids in our group would always take the lesson supplies from Kendra and I and help carry them. And they would literally compete just to try to hold the bags for us. And then they would pull me with them to the games and make me play with them, whether I wanted to or not. It was hard to say goodbye to them after the week was over. One of the reasons I wanted to go on this trip in the first place was to see if missions are something I'd really want to do in my life. Since we went and got back, I've been thinking a lot about it, and the trip made me feel closer to God, closer than I think I've been in a while. Being surrounded by all those people who shared the same purpose for the week in mind had an impact on me and got me thinking, though I really don't know even what I have been thinking. My thoughts are just so jumbled up right now. But I do know that if the opportunity presents itself in the future, which I'm sure it will, and I feel led to do it, I will definitely jump at the chance to do something like this again. It was truly an amazing experience. And finally, I and the others cannot stress how important it is to pray for all the kids at camp. I got the chance to talk to one girl in our group and hear her testimony. Her name was Emma, and she was already a Christian before that week at camp, even though her parents weren't. From talking to some of the other members from both teams, it seems like a lot of the kids came from positions like Emma's, or something similar to it. Other kids aren't Christians, or just made the decision to follow Christ during the invitation near the end of camp. Whatever their situation was, we need to keep them all in our thoughts and prayers. It's not so easy for a lot of these kids to hear about God over there. During camp may have been the only time they'd ever heard the gospel. We just need to pray that God stays with them all and continues to work in all their hearts and stays with them.
Thank you. Becky, you have more?
Oh, yeah. I just decided I better give them a chance before I said too much. But you guys be thinking of questions you want to ask us, you know, because we've got probably something to say if you have questions. But just kind of follow up on some of the things that they were saying, just like in Darko's letter, 0.1% Christians. And our church experience, we went to church the first Sunday, and when we went into the church, there were women on one side and men on the other. Now, there was some mixture, but in the past, that's the way it always was. And the women mostly had head coverings if they were married. Uh-oh. I didn't have one, but things were changing. But I mentioned this to Yaroslav because we went to his church, and he said, a lot of the young people leave the country because the opportunities are small. There's so few for employment. There's over 14% unemployment there, as I think somebody else heard, even as big as 25%, but that's what Yaroslav indicated. So they leave Serbia to get a better life, and so there's very few young people. And so Yaroslav takes his family with the teenagers and stuff, and they're in this church with a lot of older people, and, you know, nothing against older people because I'm one of them, but it's kind of hard for kids. And we went to Miroslav's church on Wednesday, and it was the same thing. So we need to be praying for the leadership. I did want to talk about, there's Darko Vita, who works with Word of Life, and he is the one who directed the camp. Yaroslav Ilya, she was a friend of Matt and Heather, he works with a church and with a CAS. I don't know how to explain it, but it's a
parachurch ministry center.
Yeah. And then there was Miroslav Chizmansky, who I stayed with, and he works with the church and also with this same organization that Yaroslav worked with. Each of these men are just so good at what they do. When Darko was doing his lessons and he was talking about creation, of course he went, what was the first one? Oh, you know, because it was light. And then, wow, you know, he did these motions with every day of creation. And we learned him, and we knew what he was talking about, even though he was talking in Serbian. And he was so good to keep the kids' attention. And Yaroslav taught, too. Miroslav was excellent with getting food and handling the finances. You sent us to work with a team that was about the business of the Lord. And so I want you to have confidence in that, too. Also, they had young people, teenagers, working with them, and they did an excellent job working with the kids. And then when they didn't have anything to do, just like young people will do, they had an interest in music, they started playing their guitars and singing and stuff, so we got kind of serenaded when we were doing our things. And so just like Curtis said, young people and kids, they're the same world over. But these people also had a heart for children. The young people who worked with us had a heart for the children. The children that I worked with, there was Laura, who made a decision to walk forward. When we talked with her later, she had made a decision last year, but I said, well, then why did you come forward this year? And through a translator, she said she just wanted to make sure that what her decision was, and she was so serious. And you asked her a question, and she had the answers that you knew that it was real in her life. And then there was Jan, who hasn't had any contact with any church. He came the second day of church. He was so smart, and he was good in English, and I had trouble keeping up with him. And he saw that you got chocolates for learning your verse. Well, he was going to learn those verses that last day, if anything. And he gave up his whole 45-minute or whatever it was, free time, and sat with me trying to learn the verses. And thankfully, it wasn't Cyrillic, so I could read along, and I knew what he was saying. And he worked so hard, and I said, you almost got it. You want to keep going? He says, no, I've had enough. And he didn't get up to say it, but he worked hard with it. And I'm going to pray for Jan that there's some contact with him, somebody that will keep that, whatever that word that was hidden in his heart from memorizing that, that I will be built on. One thing that when we went through Novi Sad, you might have seen the picture, that the bigger city that was close by. When we were out, we went to the other camp that Yaroslav works at. When we were there, he said last year when he had a group of people there, they take this regular walk from the camp up to a tower. And I don't know, some of you, because you know what happened in the 90s, that the UN sent forces, and we are equated, U.S. is equated with UN, there was a lot of bombing in that area. And when they took that walk, a Serbian came up to the Americans, started berating them and telling them how horrible they were. What are you doing here? And we all kind of talked about the possibility that happened. It didn't happen, but there are certain concepts that the Serbian people have about Americans. And what was Yaroslav's response to that? He says, that's not what's important. What's important is now reaching people for Christ, because that's the only way that the people will forgive and keep going. And his attitude was that. As we went through Novi Sad, and we saw these bridges along, we saw the river Danube, ha-ha. Anyway, all these bridges, he says, now that was the first one that was bombed, and that's the temporary bridge. And we drove by the former TV station that was a mess. It was just remains of bombing. And so there was a reminder of history that we were a part of, but what was the goal of Miro, Yaroslav, and Darko? Reaching people for Christ, because this is the answer to these problems that have been all through history. And also Miroslav, the family, I stayed with his family, the Chizmansky family, and they have two children. They have children Becky, Rebecca Susan, same as my name, and Peter. Rebecca was 16 years old. She was abandoned during the bombing that took place, and they adopted her. And Peter also was he was 10, so that made 2002, so that was when some of the things were being cleared up with Milosevic and stuff, but he was abandoned and they adopted him. And so there's so much, you know, and that we have to share with these people. And you made it possible for us to go and to be a part of it. It was such a privilege. And what's my last thing on here? What's next? They said they'd go again. Maybe you will. We don't know what God has. He put this trip together. And if any of you start feeling a leading towards another trip or something like that, we'll see. But God blessed in this. I don't think this will be the last one we do, but we don't know what will come next. But thank you for supporting us in so many ways.
We have a minute or two if anybody has a question that they want to ask. We won't take every question you have, though the survey team is going to be out there in the foyer with these cookies and so forth, and we can chat after the service today. Does anybody have a question that they want to ask? You have to be real loud. Alan?
Are they early morning folks?
Early morning folks.
They need their coffee.
They drink coffee all hours of the day, even till like 5 o'clock at night.
Somebody say something, a word they learned. Some of you only learned my name is.
Sheila. It's Yasavalam. Yasavalam Sheila. My name is Sheila.
And of course, we have to believe that that's true. Somebody else, a question? Nice and loud? One thing we wanted to say, thank you for giving. We had, this was our first in-house missions trip, foreign, international. And so we didn't know all of how much things were going to cost and so forth. After the tickets were bought, after the insurance was bought, after the expenses were paid, there was still some money left. We were able to leave $1,500 to have $1,500 for the Word of Life camp, Darko and his ministry for next year. We were able to send $500 to Miroslav and his family and his ministry. He's a missionary there too. And then $1,000 for the van fund that the...
What did you say about the van? What did you say about the van, Kendra?
Only if it's air-conditioned.
If he's going to buy a van with $1,000, it has to be air-conditioned. It wasn't air-conditioned. No windows open, and we were in that in 100-degree heat. They needed a van.
So we were able to send $1,000 with some missions discretion funds. Your missions ministry team sent off, or is in the process of sending off. So thank you for giving to that. We're able to continue to partner with those three missionaries where they are. Okay, anybody else? Another question?
What was that thing around Kurt's neck?
On the picture?
Yeah.
Oh, oh.
That was a water balloon.
And then 5 minutes later, it popped on him.
It did.
You were probably too sad about that in 100-degree weather. Somebody else.
You mentioned about the food. Did you eat with each family in the evening or something? Or did you have a food plate?
The food. How did the food work?
We ate at the restaurant in town in Petrovice every night after camp. Camp was over at 5 o'clock, and then we had like a staff meeting, and then we all went to dinner with Darko and Yaroslav and their team and Miroslav as well, and we ate dinner every night there. The first day that we were there on Sunday, we had breakfast with our host families, and then we spent the rest of the day with Yaroslav and Darko and Miroslav setting things up. We didn't really have time to eat with the families. We got back at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I can't speak for anyone else's families, but Kurt and I's family, our host and hostess, most of the time were already in bed when we got home because older people go to bed a lot earlier than us younger people.
Live long enough and that'll happen to you too.
The one night that we did get to spend time with them was fun. They asked us about our church and they asked us about all of you and what we do here, and then Kurt lost 2 games of chess and
we were able to leave some gifts with them too. You want to talk about that? Somebody?
Oh yeah.
Other than the financial gifts we were...
We left all of our families maple syrup, and our family really loved it because they never get syrup over there, or it's really expensive and rare. So our family really loved it.
I think all the families loved it. They actually asked me for a recipe for good pancakes because their pancakes come out really flat. They said it was more like crepes than pancakes, but I never did find a good recipe for them.
Questions?
Might
a misconception, a fear, something that happened, and how the Lord got you through that?
I think God prepared us so well. I mean, there were times, like she said, she had to give up her ducks in a row. You know, there were things we had to adapt to, but it amazed me. Like I told the mission team Wednesday night, I was just sure God was going to give us a challenge somewhere. But his lesson for us is that he can provide so well. I think the night before we left, I was kind of sad because it was just so good to work with children ministry again. But I don't think so.
How about in the airports? What was that like?
Oh,
we all followed Kendra's lead. She knew what she was doing.
Half asleep.
Half asleep on her Ambien or whatever it was.
We were getting the connection between Belgrade and Vienna. We thought, are we going to make it? But we made it. We even had to stand in line, and we thought, are we going to make it? But we did, because they held the plane for us. But, yeah, everything went so well.
Mm-hmm. Good. Anybody else? Like I said, yeah, Rob, real loud.
What type of employment do they have?
Employment, industry. What do people do for work?
That, when we went there, I didn't know what I was going to look. I thought it was going to look like Pennsylvania. It looks like Illinois, and it has some of the best soil in Europe for growing crops, corn and soybeans and sunflowers. I can't remember anything else. Oh, paprika. They put paprika in their food all the time. And they were having a drought like we are here. 100-degree weather, hardly any rain. The crops look pretty bad. But that's what they do a lot there. I don't think there's a whole lot of tourism, but there is some. Did you?
Jacob, real loud. So what was the food?
They did actually have hot dogs, and they put them out for breakfast Tuesday morning.
Yeah, breakfast in America is not the same as breakfast in Serbia. Breakfast in Serbia is whatever's left over from last night.
They have McDonald's over there. They have traditional and their version of it. And we had pizza one night, too, which is really good. They put ketchup on it, which is really good, though.
Yeah, I don't think they put sauce on their pizza. Did anybody else see the sauce? They make, like, a special sauce. They call it ketchup. That they do put on their pizza, but it's only like while they're eating it, like as a condiment. But they do put actual ketchup on their pizza too.
They have hamburgers and normal food too.
Yeah, we had a lot of like pork and chicken, and they don't make any sauces on their meat, but they don't overcook it either, so it wasn't dry. Everything was delicious.
Well, it's my job to lead these people in saying thank you for going on our behalf. When you were going, we were going. We didn't all go, but you went and you represented us well. Thank you so much for your hard work. Thank you for serving the Lord in Serbia. We are really proud of you.